Intervistiamo per Fucina e Monte Freddy Murer. In your biographical notes, they often mention the poverty of the cultural background. I mean, not so rich of cultural input in your childhood and in the first years of school, let's say. So the richness, so meaningful, so colorful, especially in the first works you did, especially in the artist portraits, it's a kind of reaction.
Yes, I guess. I've been born in the central Switzerland, in the countryside, and my grandparents, they run a hotel. It's the only international response I had, and otherwise it was a very small little country without culture, without just a human being are working and eating and whatever. But my grandmother, she was very highly educated, and she told me a lot of stories. She read books, she was singing Schubert songs, and for me, my grandmother was the universe of the culture, you know. And then I was about 16, 17, I escaped from this countryside to Zurich, to the big city, at the art school. And for me, it was like El Dorado. I went to the theater, to cinema, to, I was like try out, and I was so curious and about anything. So I went to the university, I went to the art school, I went to the theater, to a typical boy from the countryside who is hungry for culture, for the new life, for anything new. So, but on the other hand, I was the youngest of six children. They've been born in a big family, and you know, from my oldest brother exists about 100 photographs from him, and from me maybe one or two. For my parents, I was not an
nothing
new anymore. But it was also a change for me, for my anarchism. I did everything was forbidden, and I had a very, very nice childhood. And so still, it's the strongest roots and memories of feeling in my childhood. I had a beautiful time in this area. I was like Kaspar Hauser, you know, this figure. Grow up in a very naive, beautiful landscape in a good place. And for me, it's still very in. Strong roots going in all films. Somehow children plays a main role, and maybe that has something to do with my own beautiful childhood in a sort of a paradise.
Also, it's mentioned very often the Catholic education. That part of your country, it's very, the religion is very strong. So, what kind of influence it had in your movies?
I mean, in this area where I grow up, in the first three classes in the primary school, there have been nuns, and then Padres, and I never saw a civil person in my school time. And the schoolhouses from the girls and the boys are in different parts of the city, of the village, and also in the church on the left side, the women, right side, the men. And but in my family, I had three sisters, three brothers. We had a normal life, but. And this once a priest knocked me down because I asked him how the human being has been grown up when they only had two boys, Adam and Eva has only Cain and Abel, two boys, and then he get upset and knocked me down because he didn't have any answer. So I, in a very early time, I get in a resistance against the church, against any authority, and maybe it made up my opposition against any people. They want to influence me in a certain way, politically, religion, or whatever, and so I became quite an independent person, and I was one of the as a schoolboy, I was the first who was reading the books of Darwin, the evolution, and so I was a little bit a resistant young man, and as a filmmaker, I don't know, as an artist, as a writer, as a drawer, I'm quite a universal interested man, so it was maybe some influence, my very narrow education in the school and in the church, but I don't know exactly.
I read that you learn more from Levi Strauss than from some cinematographical model. So it make me very curious, yeah, about it. What does it mean?
Actually, I am very, very interested in ethnology and ethnography, and some of my documentary films are actually ethnological studies. Mm-hmm. And by reading the Levi Strauss Traurige Tropen, Trop Trist, I don't know the title of his very famous book, he really opened my mind. But with my basic English, it's too complicated to explain you that. But it was for me a very important book.
I see. Your movies, your job, it's very different. I mean, there are not some features that we can always find in them. I saw yesterday the first works you did, and I saw something of Vitus, and it seems your way, it's quite long, your career, it's we have more than 40 years now of career, so... If you could say, I mean, your basic point to start your job, I mean, how does Freddy Murer work to make a film?
You know, I was on the art school and I studied scientific designing. Mm-hmm. Scientific design, I made drawings, and I discovered cinema by accident. I was in a screening of a silent movie, and in this screening I decided to become a filmmaker. So I never was visiting a film school. I'm a filmmaker, learning by doing. I actually autodidact, and I saw a big change making film to all my interests, to put together interest for music, for acting, for literature, for dramaturgy, for images, for anything I was interested, I couldn't bring under one hat. So filmmaking, I thought, this is my profession. And I decide never make advertising film or film on order. I just use the medium of film for my personal expression, as kind of my art. And so with 22 years, I made the first film. And I was always a little bit a child of my time. So the early films are very experimental. I was inventing the film again. And then I made film about my friends, poets, artists, sculptures. There are film about my friends, a little bit of family situation. And step by step, I became more professional. And then by time, I... I start to write screenplays and to invent. The early films has been close to the original existing people. Then by time I had ideas and I dreamed about working with actors and with written dialogues and so on and so on. And so actually I can reconstruct my life about my movies, my personal development from a naive person to a reflecting filmmaker. By watching my films, you have 45 years of my living. So I always in each phase of my life, I made different films. So and it was for me important to make without compromise my films, but it was a big aim to live from it. I had two children and I bring them up and they studied, they have a good life and I have a house and I earned my money by doing film. So I am producer and at the same time my own director or the director and I'm my own producer. So I like to raise money to go to the banks, to the money giver too. I like this business too. And then I change my clothes and then I'm the director. So I have somehow a double life. And it's also when you see all the film of Vitus, he lives also a double life as a money maker and as an artist. And it's a bit about my own situation.
I see. About let's say your first period, I was very curious about Vision of a Blind Man. Can you please tell us something about this experimental job?
Aha. As a filmmaker, you have the sound. You are looking film with the eyes and listening with the ears. You have these two elements. And when I sitting in the cinema, I always thought these images are all idolized, and everything, it's always beauty in the cadrage, you know, and I said, what happens when I close my eyes and shooting films without control, the visual control of the images? And I was curious about what kind of pictures I get without the control. So I closed my eyes and made 90-minute films just with camera like that, with closed eyes, and it was fantastic. My only orientation was the ears, and soundtrack I always talking what I see in my mind, and I filmed it blind with my camera, and the difference between my images I had over the ear and the one I get with the camera, it's sometimes completely different. And so I discover another relationship to making images or camera. And I made in the all early films, I was my own cameraman. And so I made films with complete other images than the all other made. So it's a little bit, it was an experiment to find out other ways making film. Sorry, my basic English. I would like to say it in a very clever German, but it's not possible. But maybe it's not bad like that.
Clear enough, thank you. About the relation with the sounds and the images, I found some soundtracks amazing, really, especially again in the artist portraits. And I noticed that you have a very particular relation with the music and even with the world. We already spoke about it this morning at the conference. In the first movies, the world is almost absent, and so what is your relation with the music and with the world today?
No, the relation to the music from my childhood, I was always fascinated from music, mainly piano. And that, what I said today, I want to become a pianist, but this career disappears in no man's land. But the relation to the music was still very strong. I actually go more to the concert than to the cinema, and it's my the food of my soul, you know. I like telling stories, but in school they destroyed in the school I had a very, very negative memories on the school because they destroyed my fantasy, or they didn't appreciate my fantasy. They just want to be a good student who writes with a sentence without mistakes, and it was not my world. And then by making film, in the beginning it was a technical problem. I started making film with 8mm without sound. It was the time before video equipment. And so I was also very impressed from the silent movie. I mean, the roots of cinema, it's the silent movie, and you have to tell stories with images, you know. Not, and by breaking in the sound in the film history, the films became for a time very boring because all has been said by words, and they lost the images, and they forgot the strongness of the silent, the culture of the silent movies. And I always try to mix the dialogues, the language, the music, and the images, make an optimal mix of all them. And so I'm writing also always my screenplay. I like to write, I like to read, I like listening music, and you know, the making film, it's a beautiful kind of art from all elements come together, mm-hmm. like theater or the opera. And for me it's ideal because I can including researching money and production and paying salaries to the people. I like this strange mix of commercial problems in making film and the artistic problem, and this is a big embracing of these two elements.
There is also a nice exposition we saw at the Trieste Film Festival about your storyboards. So it's a technique that you always use, and so you figure first the scene, the characters. How it works, this system, for you?
I'm actually film. It's for me a visual art, and often when I'm writing my screenplay, I lost my ideas. I start to make drawings, and it's a complete different kind of thinking by making drawings or writing. That's another part of the brain is working, and so I stick them together. And I very often, and in all films, I'm drawing storyboards, And also when I'm traveling in the plane, in the train, I always have in my bag, I have a book. I'm always make drawings and writings. I did it since my childhood. And this is became a system of making film for me. I can show you just a minute.
Yes.
And all this book, sometimes I just make guns abstract movie signs. Then this I've made in the plane to Los Angeles, and I was flying with the Virgin. It's a this is the mother of Theo. Who plays the 12-year-old boy who plays the piano. And I it's really very close, the portrait of Theo's mother. And, you know, I don't think a lot by drawing, I just do it. You know, in here there are... It's a face.
Yes. Opposite expressions.
Yeah. So I don't think by drawing. I don't think. Sometimes I'm very surprised what my hands are made. This is palm springs. You know, this a palm, and this is a artificial spring. So that's the from the Roosevelt Hotel, the skyline from Los Angeles.
I see.
And it was in a mirror. So whatever. So I do it.
But if you wouldn't time. Have been a director, how can you figure yourself?
Pardon me?
If you wouldn't have been a director, how would you figure yourself?
Yes, maybe. I don't know. It would be. I think I would become schizophrenic because the I need making film because I otherwise I would get crazy. I have to do all the time writing, making something. So it's for me making film. It's. Somehow of my the breeze of my life. I don't know what I have no idea what else I can do. It's the only I can.
Well, I think you did it well. in your
Maybe,
movies
working in a garden as a or mo Yes, I'm a good worker. I can build walls. I can make chairs and things. I'm a very good. What means handwerker?
Yeah, working.
Handwork.
Draftman.
Yeah, draftman.
Artigiani, yeah.
My father runs a little. He was carpenter, and I. In the free time in school, I had always to help him, and so and my mother made clothes, so I had to help her. So, without realizing, I have two professions, carpenter and making clothes. When the children has been small, I made all the clothes for the children on the machine. Everybody asked why you can't, and said, I don't know. Till somebody said you get it from your mother. So
in your movies you also take care about the messages you give. So you are interested often toward the children in the future. I mean, you use your stories to tell us something, to warn us about the future, about the consequences. So it's some kind of aim, second aim after the artistical expression of yourself that you seem to have very often. I mean, in Vitus, in the other movie, when you were worried about the situation for the nuclear scourge. So it's a theme that you feel, it seems.
No, actually, I hate movies with a moral aim, or they explain me how to live for what it's wrong and what's right and so on. I hate it, film like that. But on the other hand, I'm maybe some of a moralist, you know, and I try to cover it quite well. But in the end of Vitus is for me some of a love declaration for the our phase of life, the childhood. For me, what the childhood was a really the most important phase in my life. The rest, how older I get and with to get married and make money and to pay the rent and so on, it becomes boring. And my most fantastic time in my life was the childhood. So I try to in over my movies go back somehow in this feeling of life. And I always said, don't lose your start, means don't forget your voice inside. The last sentence in Vitus, it's the last sentence in a letter of the grandfather to the parents from Vitus on to Vitus. And it's made, called, Vit, and you, Vitus, never lost your star, or never forget you as a following your star. It means please listening to the inside voice, and that's what I'm doing. And but I don't know, maybe it's a message or not. And I feel also and my understanding is also I'm a quite a political person. I live in Switzerland, we have a democracy, and I get often very involved in political decision. I made the Grüne Berg. It was about atomic problems, and it became a very controversial movie, and the atomic lobby, they hate me because I made quite a strong film against this hybris of thinking and so. But I have a little bit two souls in my heart. It's that one is a political man, and the other one is a poet who likes telling stories. And sometimes these come together, and sometimes I have to. It's why I made fiction film and documentary films. I did always both. And but the fiction films are often very exact, like I made of very exact researches, like for a documentary, and the documentary films had a. It's always space for poesy and fiction. So I don't stick to this close expression. I like to break down the prejudice of yeah. I'm on the end of my words. Please help me.
We can catch a kind of regret and a thin criticism from you toward the contemporary cinema, especially to the system and the rules of the contemporary cinema, like if it has lost a bit of freedom and creativity. especially compared with the first works you did. So what it could be your advice for the young people that start in this moment? Like many of them we have them in other festival.
Have to say, you know, this film business, it's more and more became more and more commercial, and the money, the people they gave the money, they tried to get more and more influence of the way of filming, of the casting, of the content, of the, and I think what you are doing here with the video camera, because when in films it's often a lot of money, and who gives the money, they want to have influence. And to escape from this negative influence, you have to find new forms. And I mean, a video camera costs 300-400 euros, and you can, and the quality it's in between so high, you can really, I made one film on video and made downtown Switzerland. It was a sort of a guerrilla film with very, very few money, and we blow it up after on 35 for the big screen, and it works. So I think to become independent, you today you can really with a good video camera, you can, and with it's so cheap to realize a movie, but you have to have a lot of friends. They act for you without charge, or maybe with a little money. And but I am not a good advisor how for the rest of all, for the young generation, to explain it. I trust they have when somebody, a young man or a woman want to make a film, want to express his own feeling and his own, then she or he will find a way, because the technical equipment is, you find it in each window of a video store. It's really actually easy to do it. The problem is get into the television, into the in the cinema, and maybe you have instead to make a bank robbery, you have to make a robbery of a cinema and to screen it, or I don't know. There are so many ways. It needs fantasy and will, and you can do it.
Thank you very much for your time. We will follow the Oscar Awards.
You really want, it's a song, you know.
Thanks, we will follow Vitus.
I never made really compromise. And now, for instance, Vitus was originally a project from 6 million euro, now about 5 million euro, and I couldn't find the money. The co-production companies in Austria and in Germany, they refused, and also the European script foundation, they refused my project. Mm-hmm. and even from me, I made a lot of films. Then I divided the budget, I built up an own company and with young people, and I made 1 year full-time fundraising, and I found at least 3 million Swiss francs, and then I made Vitus you see now on the screen. But all other, but my producer and all these co-producers, they refused my project, so I did it on my own way, and now it's one of the biggest success, and they are now biting their nails. And I risk, really, I have a house in the Gino, and I when I buy a bankrupted my project, I would have lose my house. I gave it to the bank as a guarantee, so I pokered quite high. But now it turns in a positive way, and as a producer from Vitus, or co-producer from Vitus, I am now in a quite comfortable situation.
I think you worked it. You work on it 6 years almost, right? So yes, it was a long job.
But in these 6 years, I made downtown Switzerland. Mm-hmm. After 2 years waiting, I had enough. And then I made this documentary film, Downtown Switzerland. And then I started again with Vitus. So you need a little bit patient. It's like...
Okay, thank you very much again.
Thank you, Gloria.